mental principle in Yahadus is that if a person doesn't understand something of Torah, or if they hear an explanation for something that doesn't make any sense to them, so we don't understand, we remain with a kasha. I mean, kashas don't bother us. We have many kashas. But a commitment to the conclusions of Chazal is something which is not open, there are no options in that area. It's not open for options. In other words, we insist on one thing. If we like an explanation, we don't like an explanation, fine. But the commitment to the conclusions is something which we accept regardless. That's really Nasa Vinishma. That's what Nasa Vinishma means. Nasa Vinishma means we'll understand, we want to learn. Of course, the essence is learning. But nevertheless, if we don't understand, it does not impede the asiyah. So, the shiur I'm giving today is on a very difficult topic. In our society, it's become very emotionally packed. And I'd like to present to you the words of Chazal in the area and to offer my own explanation. But essentially, before I do that, I'd like to simply present the Chazal. Okay? The Chazal had the highest respect. The highest respect for the Chachma of Bruria. Everybody knows it was the wife of Rabbi Meir and the daughter of the great Rabbi Hanina ben Trajan. And the Gemara says, as a matter of fact, the Mishnah says, that she was involved in the machlokes in Kalim, which is in Tahiris, the Rambam says is the most abstract area of Torah. And the Gemara says the machlokes Tanoim, Rabbi Yeshua and Bruria stated our opinion, and the Tosefta says Amar Rabbi Yeshua Yafa Amar Bruria, that her opinion was correct. And he paskin like her, held like her. So you see, Chazal had the greatest respect for Bruria in terms of her intellectual capabilities. The Gemara says in Psachim Daf Samach Beis Amud Beis, Gemara tells a story that Reb Simloi came in front of Reb Yechanan. Okay, came in front of Reb Yechanan. And he said to him, Amalei Nisni Limar Sefer Yuchsin. He said, could you please teach me the Sefer Yuchsin? We don't have it anymore. Apparently, Rashi's was Brisis that had to do with Divrei Hayomim. Divrei Hayomim, of course, is a problematic area. A lot of steers between Divrei Hayomim and other parts of Tanakh. But there were certain Brisis on Divrei Hayomim, and apparently they dealt with Sisrei Torah. With Sisrei Torah, meaning areas that are not for everyone. Areas of Torah that are not for everyone require special abilities, capabilities. So he said to him, Amalei, so he said to him, Mehechanat, where are you from? Amalei Milud. I come from Lud. He says, Vehechan Mosvach, where are you currently living? Binador, town of Nador. Amalei, so he said to him, Eini dunin lo leludim v'lo l'nadoyim. He says, we don't teach these things to people that come from Lud or from Nadoy. The Kol Shkain, and you certainly, because you come from Lud and you live in Nador. So Rashi says he meant it in jest. In other words, Chachmei Yisrael sometimes speak in a jovial manner, he pushed them off, basically. He was trying to tell them it's not for you. So the Gemara says, Kafya va'artze. So Rav Simloi persisted, and he finally he submitted. he agreed. Okay, how he convinced them, we don't know. We convinced him some way. Maybe he convinced him that he was on a level or whatever. And during the conversation, he showed him that he is Roy. So he persisted. And he said, okay. So he says, Omale, so he said to him, Nisnaya Begimel Yache. We'll learn it in 3 months. Cover the area. I'm ready to set aside 3 months to learn Sefer Yosef. Shokal Kola Potak Be. So he picked up a clod of earth and he threw it at him. Amale, he said to him like this, Uma Bruya de Bisu de Rab Meir Barate de Rabbi Chanina Ben Trajain. He says, if Bruya, who was the wife of Rab Meir and the daughter of Rabbi Chanina Ben Trajain, de Tanya Tlas Meir Shmaitza Biyuma de Shusa Migimel Meir Ravasa, that basically what it means is she could learn hundreds of halachas in one day, go around in to various Batei Midrashos, and she could spend her entire day in learning halachos. I mean, in almost like an endless manner. She has such a great mind, such great intellectual capabilities. Vafilo hocha lo yotzitza yedecha vasa betlas shenin. And even so, she never completed, she learned for 3 years, Sefer Yochsen, and she still didn't exhaust the area. So he says, Va'at amrit betlasa yachay. And you think you could do it in 3 months? So you see from this memra, the great respect that Rabbi Yochanan had for that Chazal had in general for Bruria's intellect, her intellectual capabilities, and how they spoke about her, and they said that the Kal Vachomer from her to other Talmidim. It's the well-known Mishnah in Sota Daf Chof Amud Aleph. Okay, so the Mishnah says that. You know, the drinking of the waters of the Sota was a nes, it was Ayyadei nes. It's basically, as Ramban says, and it's the only thing in the Torah that you have that is in Halacha, that is supernatural. But it was a special Ashgacha. The Gemara says that because there was nothing in that water that was poisonous, nothing harmful in the water, and nevertheless, it would discern between the Isha Soto, the wayward woman, and the woman that was that wasn't the innocent woman. Okay, the drinking of the waters. So the Mishnah says in Yesh Lo Schus Haisatolava. Okay, that if she had a schus, even though she was really a sota, and she was unfaithful to her husband, but it didn't mean that every time she drank of the waters that she would die. Okay, sometimes it was a stay of execution, a year, 2 years, 3 years. If she had a schus, she wouldn't die immediately. So the Gemara is like this. Mishnah says like this. Mikan Omer Ben Azai. So Ben Azai says, from this halacha, we can prove that Chayev Odom Lelamed Es Bito Torah. A person must teach his daughter Torah. Why? Shem Tishta. Because if she drinks the waters, Teda, she should know Shazchus Tolala. Okay? That the reason why she didn't immediately incur the death sentence is because of the fact that she has a schus. Okay, so it's a funny kind of thing. A lot of times when we look at a Mishnah, the reasoning just sounds funny to us. I mean, so why don't you just tell her the fact? So tell her that schus tola. I mean, what kind of a deduction is this? That Ben Azai's deduction that therefore you see that Chayav Adam Laman is Bita Torah. It's going pretty far. And it's a whole machloikis. I am a chuyiv. Are you according to Ben Azai, it's a chuyiv. All right. Yeah. All right, let's go a little further in the Mishnah. Rabbi Eliezer Omer. Chol ha-melameid bito Torah lomdo tiflos. And on the contrary, The other Tana disagrees. He says that a person that teaches his daughter Torah is teaching her nonsense or something harmful. I mean, we'll see. We'll see exactly what it means. It means something not good. Okay? Tiflis means implies a kind of knowledge that will harm her, be harmful to her or to others. It's not a good thing. Okay. And then Rabbi Yeshua says, I'm glad you brought that in, Rotza isha bekave tiflus mitisha kavenu precious. Okay. What does it mean? So the Gemara explains what it means. The Gemara says that a woman would rather have a husband that has, that economically he's inferior. I mean, he has a job where he doesn't earn much money, but he's able to be with her and to have intercourse with her, rather than a man that, husband that is, makes a lot of money, but he's never home. Today, I don't know if that's true, basically. But, okay. So, therefore, he says, what is he saying, basically? He's saying, therefore, you shouldn't teach a Torah. Okay. You have the three opinions in the Mishnah. Three opinions in the Mishnah. First opinion in the Mishnah, Ben Azai, that you're obligated to teach your daughter Torah. Rabbi Lazar, no, he's teaching her something harmful. And further statement, Rabbi Yeshua, who says that a woman would rather have less money and have her husband home with her than to have more money and have him away. He should be away. So therefore, you shouldn't teach a Torah, basically. Okay.
Third opinion, or is that something?
Yeah, it seems to be an extension of Rabbi Eliezer. Okay. Rashi's chafetz lizon b'mizonos muatin v'yehi tiflusa motzi lo b'tashmish mites kavenu precious lifrosh minat tiflus l'fichoch ein tov shetilmo Torah. Therefore, it's not good that you should teach a Torah. Okay. That's Rashi. That's the one. That's a plain shot in the Mishnah. Right, now you have a story whose source is in the Yerushalmi.
Where is this
Yerushalmi? Yerushalmi is in Sota. It's the third parak. It's Daf Yudalar Amud Beis in the pages of the Yerushalmi. This Yerushalmi, by the way, is quoted by Tosfos in Sota. It's Tosfos Daf Chof Aleph Amud Beis quotes it, and also it's a Gemara in Yuma. It's a Gemara in Yuma, although the story is not as complete, but it's a Gemara in Yuma, Daf Samach Vav Amud Beis, I believe. Just Reb Mitruna Sholos Rebbe Elazar. Speaking of Rebbe Elazar ben Hurkanus, Rebbe Elazar Agadol. So a matron, it means she was a very prominent woman. She asked Rebbe Elazar. It was during a shir. Mipnei ma chet achas b'maisa egel v'heim meisim bo sholosh misos. So she asked the question. She said, the maisa egel, there was one chet in the egel, one maisa vera. And why was it that there were three separate penalties? Okay. The three penalties were, the first one was that they had to kill. Yeah, Hirgusha Sochiv. Okay, so they killed him with a sword, and then there was a Magefa, and then the third one was that Vayizra Pnei Amoyim. So Moshe Rabbeinu scattered the dust of the Egel on the water, and he caused them to drink the waters, and they died. A lot of them died. So she asked a good question. Raise a question. Why is it you have one chait and three different onshim? Ordinarily, this is not, you don't have such a thing. You have each chait has its own specific onish. Okay. Amar lo, he said to her, Ein chachmasa shel isha ela bepilcha. The wisdom of a woman should be reserved. Should be is restricted to weaving. Okay? In other words, basically, throw her out. You refuse to answer. So in other words, you don't have the right to ask me this question. It's not your area. And he basically embarrassed it. Amalo Horkinus Beno. So Horkinus' son said, Bishvilo Shiva Dovar Echad Minatora Ibadatami Meni Shalosh Meos Kor Meiser Bechol Shana. So she was a wealthy woman, and she used to give her maisros to Rabbi Lazar's son. So he said, I don't understand. He says, because he didn't want to answer her one word in the Torah. So that's why he caused me a loss of 300 kor a year. Amalei, so Rabbi Lazar Gadol said to his son, Yisrefu Devei Torah. The words of Torah should be burnt, v'al yimosru l'nashim, and should not be given over to women. That was a statement. And the Gemara continues. The Gemara says, "Kashi yatzasa." When she left, Amr lo Talmidov. Talmidim said, "Rebbe lezu dachisa. How are you pushed off? Lana matal meshiv." So he answered. He answered a beautiful answer. He said that incident was like Klal Yisrael had a halachic status of an Isha Sota. So therefore, the halacha is like this: those that served the Eidim and Asra, so those they killed with a Sayaf, all right. And the ones that they didn't know, so the waters were bodek. The waters detected just like the waters of a sota, and the ones that did it without hasra, without edema, without the hasra, so they died in the without edem, without hasra, they died in the magefa. So I go like this. If you have edem and hasra, so then bezdin kills them. Edem without hasra, so the water is bodek. The water is bodek. And the third level was the no Edom and no Asra, so the Magefa. Okay. At any rate, in the meantime, I mean, you see his reaction to the woman that raised the question in the Shir. Now let's go back to Gemara. Okay. So you have the Mishnah, and the Mishnah says that Yesh Zechus, if she had a Zechus, so it's Tov. So if she had a Zechus, so then sometimes she had a stay of execution. Okay. So the Gemara says Zechus Demai. What kind of a schus could she have? So the Gemara says, Ilema schus de Torah. If you're going to say that, what? That it's referring to the schus that she learned Torah. So the Gemara says, Aina mitzvah v'yosa. She has no obligation. She's not a mitzvah v'yosa with regard to Torah. Ela schus de mitzvah. You're going to tell me that she has a schus of mitzvos? Zechus the mitzvah mi migna kulehai. Mitzvahs don't really protect one to that degree. Torah, yes. Mitzvahs not. So the Gemara continues, and the Gemara goes into the relationship between the protective value of mitzvahs and Torah, and mitzvahs inferior, and Torah superior. So mitzvah can't be the thing that the Mishnah means. It will not save a person. Mitzvah won't save a person. Torah will. So the Gemara says, so what does it mean? Insofar as mitzvah is concerned, it won't work. Insofar as Torah is concerned, she's ain't a mitzvah yosa, so that won't work either. Ravina says, L'olam schus Torah. Really, it means that this woman, this lady, has a schus of Torah. Udeka amrit ain't a mitzvah yosa, and you say that what? That she's not a mitzvah yosa. Nehi defekuda lo mifkida. It's true that she isn't obligated to learn Torah, but be agra de mikrinu misnayin benayu, with the reward that a woman has that she causes her children to learn, the natran luhu legavrayu ad osumi bemidrasha, and she permits her husband to go to the Beis HaMedrash and to learn, even though it takes away time from their companionship. So Milo Palgan Badayu, doesn't she share with her husband in the Schar of Torah because she's also involved, she's a partner as well, because she allows him to learn Torah and she causes her children to learn Torah. So since she shares in the Schar, so that's, so she does have Schar Torah, and that Schar Torah protects her. That's what the Gemara says. Okay. The Gemara says in Brachas Daf Zayin Amud Aleph, the Gemara says, Gedola Avtocha Shevtichon HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lenashim Yosim Eno Anashim. That God's promise to women was even greater than his commitment and his promise to men. Why? Because the Pasuk in Yeshayahu says, Noshim She'ananos Kumna Shmana Bekoli Bonos Botchos Hazino Hazino Imrasim. So you see that the pasuk speaks about the woman as in a superior manner. Yeshayahu speaks to them in a superior manner than he does, than he speaks to the men. Okay, so the Gemara says, Amalei Rav l'Reb Chiya. So Rav said to Reb Chiya, Nashim b'may zachin. With what is the schus that nashim, that women, with which schus do women, are women zocha? What is this great schus that they have? I mean, you're telling me there's a superiority here. Okay? Yeah. So the Gemara says, Ba'akriye b'nayhu lebe kinishta, because they cause their children to go, Rashi says, Tinoko shobeis rabban, ho yirgiyun lios, lemaiden lefnei rabban beis haknesses. Basically, this doesn't mean go to shul. It means they make sure that their children learn Torah. And uba'asnuya gavrayu berabonon, the natrin le gavrayu ad the osnu berabonon. Okay. So it means to say, Rashi says, mamtinos lebailehen, they wait for their husbands, and nosnos lehen reshus, and they give them permission, lelechas velumot Torah biracheres, to go and learn Torah, even if it means they have to leave town, go to another town. Because the Chazal, and Chazal always talk about Talmidei Chachamim, one of the signs of Talmidei Chachamim are they go from town to town. They go from one Rebbe to another Rebbe to learn all around, all over, different yeshivas. Apparently it wasn't the style of staying one yeshiva all the way. They went to various yeshivas, learned by different Gedolei Yisrael. That was the style in the time of Chazal. Okay. So therefore, the wife would let her husband go, travel away from home, even in order to gain knowledge of Torah. Okay. I mean, it's an interesting thing. The Gemara, there's two things from the plain Gemara anyways. It seems that the Gemara doesn't even wish to say that the schar that Noshim have in terms of Talmud Torah is even Eina Mitzuv B'Yosef. Because the Gemara could have said a simple answer. The Gemara says Eina Mitzuv B'Yosef, but she has a schar Torah. But the Gemara doesn't say that. The Gemara says the schar Torah is that she causes her children to learn Torah and her husband. Okay? It's interesting. I mean, the Gemara had another option. The Gemara could have said it's simply because of the fact that she's Eina Mitzuv B'Yosef, but she learns. The Gemara doesn't say it. The Gemara does not say it. What? Yeah. It's interesting. The Rambam somehow or other didn't learn this way. The Rambam learned that it means plain pshat that she gets her as an Eina Mitzuv B'Yosef. Yeah. That's what the Rambam is. But the Gemara is against it. I want you to understand the Rambam is very difficult because the Gemara doesn't say that. The Gemara switches it off to the other schar, not that. But the Rambam does say, the Rambam somehow or other, what he did with the Gemara, I mean, we don't know. But you can't just push away the Gemara. I mean, the Gemara states the Gemara went into a different schus, but the Rambam says no. Maybe she learned Torah as an Eina Mitzuv B'Yosef, and that will postpone, defer the onesh. Okay. Yeah. The Rambam Hilchas Talmud Torah Perek Aleph Halacha Yud Gimel. Rambam's like this: Isha Shalomda Torah. If a woman learned Torah, Yesh La Schar Aval Enik Schar Yesh. But it's not like the schar of a man. She has a reward, but not like the reward of a man. Mit Neishalon Itzavis. V'chol Ose Dovar She'ena Metzuva Lav Lasoso Ein Schar Kischar Metzuva She'osa Ela Pachas Mimano. The Yafal Pishi Yesh Laschar, Ram says, and even though she does have a reward, Sivu Chachomim Shelo Yelameid Odom Ezbito Torah. Chacham said that a person should not teach his daughter Torah. Mipnei sherov hanashim ein daitan mechuvanos leslame, because most women they aren't capable. They don't have the mental ability to understand in depth the svaros, the ideas. Elohim motzios divrei Torah ledivrei havoi lefianias daitan. But they will think that they are capable when they're not capable. They're going to make that error, and therefore they're going to draw their own conclusions. These conclusions will be faulty, and it will cause a destruction of the halacha. Amru chachamim, kol hamalamed es bito Torah kilo limda tiflus. Anyone that teaches his daughter Torah, it's as if he taught her nonsense. Rambam says in Pirshas Nice, shov, worthless things. Bamed dvar mamur, Rambam says, when is this so? Betar shebal peh. That's only if you teach her Gemaras, you teach her Mishnayis, you teach her Torah Shebal Peh. Aval Torah Shebichsav, but Torah Shebichsav lo yilamed oso l'chatchila. Originally, he shouldn't teach her that either. Im lamda. If he did teach her that, eino kimalanda tiflus, not the same level. It's not as bad. So the Rambam is, Chazal always like to understand. I mean, we understand the levels. So you shouldn't do it, but if you did it, it's not as bad as if you taught a Torah Shebal Peh. The moment you start explaining things, I mean, you're involved in Torah Shebal Peh. It's more than Torah Shebal Sav. Torah Shebal Sav means just to learn the rote learning of the Torah Nevi'im Ksuvim. Once you go into in-depth explanations, that's already Torah Shebal Peh. That's not Torah Shebal Sav anymore. Tirgum is Torah Shebal Peh. And Tirgum doesn't add much, just a little bit here and there, but that's the minimal shear of Torah Shebal Peh. So Torah Shebal Peh means when you start explaining, actually Tirgum is more. Tirgum is more. I don't want to make a mistake. Tirgum is more than Torah Shebal Peh. Tirgum is actually the Pirush. If you don't have Tirgum, you don't have anything, basically. Okay, you don't have anything, basically. That's what the Gemara says. You have to have a basic. It's not. It wouldn't be classified. I'm correcting it. It's halacha. It has a kiyum of Torah Shebal Peh as well. But basically, if you don't learn like Tirgum, you don't learn it. It's nothing. You have to at least have a basic understanding. Otherwise, on the contrary, a person that just translates literally the Torah, it's usher altogether, because it's completely the wrong ideas. La'ered at Hashem, liras la'eres amigdo. If you translate it that God descended, that's kfirah. So it means yikar that Hashem. The Tirgum always explains. So it's not so. Some Tirgum are elaborations, but there's without Tirgum, you really can't. It's not even Torah. But at any rate, Torah Shebal Peh when you go into elaborations, and Torah Shebal Sav is the minimal amount of understanding the translation of the Torah. Okay. Tiflus, according to the Rambam, means very simply. According to the Rambam, Tiflus means distortion. It means that the women will distort the Torah. They'll distort the interpretation because they're not capable enough of abstract thought. The ability for abstract thought is not, they don't have the ability for really abstract thinking, and therefore they're going to think they understand the sugya. They don't understand the sugya. Let's give a shot. A little paskin the wrong way. Okay. Yeah, there is another Rambam. The Rambam is in Hilchas Yesod HaTorah, and the Rambam says like this. The Rambam is in Perek Dalet from Hilchas Yesod HaTorah, Halacha Yud Gimel. So the Rambam talks about the importance of studying in order, in an organized fashion, not to try to study things that you're not capable of before you are. I mean, people like to know everything, so people will come in, they immediately want to learn the most abstract area, but they're not prepared for it, and then they're not capable of it, and then they really don't understand it well. So the Rambam says that a person, the order is like this. First, you must learn Torah Shebal Peh. Torah Shebal Peh. And Torah Shebal Peh is Shas. And he says, that's Dover Kotten. That's Avayas Abayev Rava. Now he says like this. He says, why? He says, even though they're small things, the real limud, the real learning, is in the area of metaphysics. That's the main limud, the Rambam says. The main limud is the area of metaphysics, because that's where a person really obtains a knowledge that brings him close to God. But never. So why didn't he start? Why does he start with metaphysics? Why does he have to? Why does he have to start? Why must he learn Avayas Abayev Rav Shas? He must learn first. Okay, the Rambam's bringing down the ultimate. Okay, we're not on that level. But anyways, he says Afal Pikein Ruyin Hein Lag Dimon. Why Shehein Miyashvin Daito Shel Odom Tchila. Va'od Shehein At, because these things teach a person how to think properly first. It gives him methodology. Gives him the abilities to be able to approach a more abstract area. Va'od Shehein Atova Gdolo Sheshpia Kodesh Baruch Hu Liyishev Olam Hazeh Kidei Linchol Chai Olam Haba. That the mitzvos are the things that God gave us in order that we should perfect ourselves so that we should have a place in the eternal world. The Efshir Sheyedom HaKol. And everyone can know them. Koton, the gadol, a youngster, an older person, ish, v'isha, a man, a woman, balev rochev, or balev kotzer, a person that has a broad scope, an intellect which can span a wide area, and a person whose vision is limited. I mean, intellectual vision is limited. So the Rambam over here says that he says ish v'isha, a woman. So it seemed to contradict what he says in Hilchas Tamat Torah. Okay. Now, the Gemara says, now what is the reason? Somebody asked me where the Rambam got it from, that a woman's intellectual capacity is not as great as a man's, in general, of course, in general. I mean, we'll see why the word in general is important, but the fact is, that's the statement, basically. I mean, you can't deny the statement. Okay. I mean, the Rambam didn't make it up. The Rambam got it from Chazal. There's no question about it. Which Chazal is a different question. I'll tell you what I think where the Rambam got it from, but let's take a look at the Gemara. The Gemara is like this. Because the Gemara asks a direct question. The Gemara inserted that for follow from a base. The Gemara asks a direct question. Ben Azai holds you're obligated to teach your daughter Torah, and Rebbe Lazar holds it's Asr. It's a pretty strong machlekes. I mean, you know, strong machlekes. One holds you're chayev, the other one's Asr. Okay. So the Gemara asks, Omar Rabbi Avo, my time at Rebbe Lazar. Why did Rebbe Lazar Asr? What's his reasoning? So the Gemara says, because it's a pasuk, the chsiv. Ani chachma shachanti arma. So Shlomo HaMelech makes a statement. He says, as if he's personifying wisdom. He says, "I am wisdom," and he says that I dwell with cunning. In other words, cunningness dwells with me. Okay. Now the Gemara is taking the word arma means cunning. Okay. So Rashi says on the spot in Mishlei. He says that the moment a person learns Chachma is nichnas bo kol minei armumias. It means he becomes extremely sly and cunning in all devious, in all matters, whether it's money matters, whatever it might be. He becomes very sly. Now the Gemara takes this to be a derogatory statement. In other words, it's not Rashi and Mishle learns plain pshat that it's a good thing, which means to say that if you learn Torah, you learn Chochmah, so you'll be smart in every area. You'll be clever in every area. But the Gemara takes it to mean something derogatory. That's a derogatory statement. Why should you say cunning implies devious, which is not really not a virtue. It doesn't smack a virtue. So Rashi says that's why you shouldn't, that's his reasoning. Because says that pasuk came to teach you that sometimes it's not good to learn Chochmah, because Chochmah can teach a person to be devious. And Rabbi Elazar said that was referring to women. He says, why? He says, Shemitocho hi mevino armumius v'ose dvoreo behetzna. In other words, now she'll become sly. So therefore, it will harm her. It'll be harmful. That's the way Rashi learns. That's basically Rashi learns Kilum Alamda Tiflus, which means to say that now, instead of improving her character, it's going to make her worse. Okay? Okay. The Mirian says. The Mirian says an interesting thing. He says Ratzalomar Devarim Tefillin. Shemitoch Havanoso B'yeser Migidro Hikona Armimus Ma'at. She gains a certain cleverness. The Ein Sichla Maspik LaHavana HaRa'uya. Sounds like the Rambam. And her mind doesn't really understand the thing well. V'hi Sevura Shehisiga. And she thinks that she does understand it. Umikas keses kefamon, and she shakes like a bell, laharos es chokhmasa lakol, to show others her chokhma. In other words, basically it means that she's interested in displaying her chokhma, and it's gaiva, and it's a sort of a combination. I mean, he's combination of Rashi and the Rambam. As the Rambam just says, just concerned with intellectual deficit. The Rashi is concerned with the deficit of character. And the Miri combines both. Okay? He says because she doesn't understand well, and then she's ostentatious, and she's going to want to show off. Okay. That's what the Miri says. Okay. All right. Well, Rav Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva in the third chelek of Yerideya, where Rav El Yishvei asked them if you're allowed to teach girls Mishnayos in the yeshiva. And their Moshe just passes straight. He says, Ram passes Rav Elazar, and it's Asar. Period. The Rav, there's an article from the Rav, and the Rav seemed to accept the Rambam's view. That women don't have the capacity. He says the Rav accept the Rambam's opinion. Namely, that the area of in-depth abstract thought is not for women. That's basically what he says. And he has a whole thing from Bereshis that Chava was created from Adam and Adam was created from Adama, and that's why he works it out al-Pidrush, I mean, very nicely and beautifully. But that's basically what his opinion is. Yes. Okay, you mean Avas Hashem? Avas Hashem, okay, so that's a good question. Avas Hashem is based on Das. So a woman is Chayevis and Avas Hashem. That's correct. There's no doubt about it. But the Rambam's Avas Hashem is basically study of nature. That's what the Rambam says. It doesn't say study of Halacha. That's not what the Rambam says in the Yad HaChazak anyways. The Rambam in the Yad speaks about Avas Hashem. He does not say anything about Halacha. He says the study of nature. That's a different thing. That he does. That's no... the Rambam doesn't ever ask a woman to study nature. Doesn't say anything about that. Because it doesn't say that they'll take the ideas of nature and they'll paskin wrong. I mean, there's no psak over there. So they could see the wonders of HaKadosh Baruch Hu through nature, and it's no problem. Okay, let me just tell you something else. I mean, you're all familiar. Everybody don't have to tell it to you, but you're familiar with Dvar Ish and Aviyah, and the Ishel Fetes Es Yisrael Ba'isai. So the Rishonim asked, Tesfos asked, the Rashba, the Ramban, the Ran, they all ask a question. How could she be a judge if a woman has no place in her raw? I mean, let's forget it. I heard recently somebody wrote an article and said women can be bothered. That's nonsense. Noshim lav b'nei haron in it. Women have no place in haron. There's no such thing as a raw of an isha.
That's a
psalm. No one holds that a woman is a bother. Noshim, it's a maimar chazal. Noshim lav b'nei haron in it. That's for sure. No woman can be in a dayan. It's a hedgin, a dayan. It's ridiculous. It's a gemara shvus.
Cannot be.
It's impossible. That's not true. But the question is how she judged the people. So there's two answers. What? There's two terrestrial tests. Basically, tests. One answer is that all she did was she conveyed the information to the Chachma Yisrael, and they did the Horah. That's all. So she gave them the information.
How did she know?
Because she's a Nevi'ah. She's a great genius. She's the greatest mind in the generation. There's no question about that. She was the greatest mind. But the second answer is that they were mekabel the din on themselves. That Dayana, that the Balei Din have a right to mekabel the din. So therefore, you could even have a relative paskin on your bezin. If everybody accepts him, so they accept the din. So that's there's two answers in Taisvus. Either she conveyed the information to Chachmei Yisrael and they executed the Horah, or the people accepted her and that was it. But there's no question about it. I mean, that she was the greatest mind in her time. There's no question about that. So again, you see that Chachmei Yisrael, on the one hand, it's a strange phenomenon. On the one hand, they have the greatest respect for the chachma of a woman. I mean, it's in Kisvei Kodesh. It's not, you don't need anything more. They don't need anything, any source that's more concrete, more authoritative than Kisvei Kodesh. So in Kisvei Kodesh, you see that Klal Yisrael and Chachma Yisrael have the greatest respect for the intellect of a woman. On the other hand, you have these the halacha and the Maimre Chazal, which seem to indicate the contrary. That's the question. That's why I wanted to present you with the information. So you see that it's not a simple matter. As usual, in Torah, and no area is simple. It requires an understanding. Okay? Yeah. Yes, he's correct. He's correct. There is a Taisvis. There is one Taisvis in Taisvis. Nidah Daf Nun Amud Aleph. In the first Taisvis, Taisvis holds as you can. But basically, there's no one. I mean, it's not. It's a Shita Tchuya. I mean, it's Ramban, the Rambam, the Rashba, the Ran, the Taisvis, and the other Tursim and Taisvis. So, for all intents and purposes, it's non-existent, basically. Anyone that says a woman could give do her is just fooling you. I mean, basically, I'll pay a lochish can't. There's no question about it. You can't. You just can't do such a thing. Okay. So, at any rate, the question is like this. The question is, you have a contradiction here. Contradiction between on the one hand, as we mentioned, the tremendous respect that Chazal had for the Chochmah of a woman, and on the other hand, you see the general Gemara. I mean, basically, Halacha. I mean, that is no one that argues on the Halacha that it's Osir L'Lamed Bito Tarshma Peh. I mean, that's Pechot. There's no one that disagrees with that. Okay. People do not know how Hara works. They'll go and they'll try to find one statement of a Chazal and they'll think that they can prove their point. It's nonsense. You have to know the problem today is, and the problem today is a Rambam's problem, because Rambam says that the information of Tarshma Peh was kept secret. Precisely for that reason. Because you have people that come along and they just read and they find the Gemara that appeals to them and they'll say that Mandomar, so therefore we hold this way. So you can destroy the whole institution of Halacha. Okay. That's correct. If you want to go back to Ben Azai. Ben Azai Hill. Chayav Adam Alamed is the Fiz of Torah. Okay. Let me explain Ben Azai first. Okay. Let's take Ben Azai first. Ben Azai says, Chayav Adam Alamed is Bito Torah. All right. So he gives a funny reason. I mean, why? Because maybe she'll become a sota, and then she'll see that she doesn't die. So then what? So then she'll discuss Tola. I mean, so she won't know this fact. So tell her the fact. What does it mean? What Ben Azai meant is like this. Ben Azai meant that you cannot have a system. You see two things in Ben Azai. First thing in Ben Azai is Ben Azai maintained that if a person doesn't really understand something on a deep level, they lack conviction. Because otherwise, Ben Azai could have said, well, why don't you just tell her that fact? That's Chos Torah. He says, no. You have to teach her Torah. What does it mean? She has to know the method of Torah Shebaal Peh so that she should be convinced that's Chos Torah. You see? So why did Ben Azai take this one halacha? The answer is because Ben Azai is held like this, that it's impossible that a system should lead a person to Kfirah. Okay? Now, since the woman is... it's possible within the system. You see, this system has to be perfect. Now, since within this system it's possible for a woman to become a sota, that's a parsha in the Torah. You can't say it's not possible. It's in the system. And what would happen in such a case? She won't truly be convinced of the fact that's chus tola because she doesn't know the methods and she'll think that you're just telling her this just to give her an answer, give an excuse. If she knows how to learn, she'll see it from the limud, so then she'll be convinced. But otherwise, she'll think you're just giving an answer. So therefore, her amuna will become in jeopardy. And it's impossible that within the system, that the system should create a situation where an individual will come in jeopardy with their amuna b'Hashem. It's an interesting thing.
So you're saying
therefore, of course, Ben Azai, v'limadatem osam as b'neichem Ben Azai doesn't argue with that. I mean, it's a pasuk in the Torah. He is saying there's another, you must say that women are chayev because otherwise you're telling me that it's possible that she will come to a state in which she's going to doubt the veracity of Torah. And why will she doubt it? Because it's personally involves her. You see, people see a lot of things, it doesn't bother them. When something happens to them, then they're concerned. So here you're putting in a situation where you're causing her to doubt the veracity of Torah. That can't be. So therefore, Ben Azai says, must be that you must teach her the methods of, you chayef to teach her the methods of Limud Torah. That's Ben Azai's position. Okay. But not because of Limud Torah per se, but because of Amunah. Okay. Why did Rabbi Eliezer argue? So now you understand Rabbi Eliezer's argument. Eliezer's just a minute. That can't be. Because if you do what you prescribe, then you're jeopardizing the entire system. Because you're malamda tiflus. Kilo malamda tiflus. So therefore, it doesn't make any sense to say that, it doesn't make any sense to say that because her concept of Torah will be in jeopardy, you see, at a certain specific case, a rare case, but whatever it is, you can't tell me because of that you should jeopardize the entire Torah. That doesn't make any sense. So therefore, he said it's usher. Okay? So you see the machlekes here between the, that's the machlekes here tonight. The question is like this. The question is which way to go. It's weighing to the Chazala, basically weighing one thing against another. Question is, on the one hand, it is important in terms of our convictions. On the other hand, it's destructive. So it's a machlekes tanoim, Ben Azai and Rabbi Eliezer. And we're paskin like Rabbi Eliezer. That's what Moshe said. It's us, because he said we're paskin like Rabbi Eliezer. No one argues on that. Okay. I'm explaining to the machlekes. In other words, the machlekes is that you have a choice. But either way you go, you have a problem. So you have to, the system, you have to make the best choice in the system. So Rabbi Eliezer says the best choice is not to teach. Okay. Yeah. Ben Azai maintains it's more important not to jeopardize an individual's emunah. So that overrides it. It's a question of override. It's not a question. It's not a machlekes tanaim on abilities. That everybody agrees. It doesn't seem anybody disagrees on the ability. But the question is, you see, the question is that everybody seems to agree. I wouldn't say it's machlekes in metzias, whether women have the greatest intellectual capacity as a man or not. That's not, doesn't seem to be machlekes. Ben Azai's argument is, fine, but what are you going to do? But meantime, you're leading a person astray. You're causing a person to be led astray in terms of their money. You can't do that. And Rabbi Lezahov maintains, no, you have to look at the system. The system is going to be jeopardized, so you can't help one case that there's no way out of it. There's way, it's a phenomenon that you can't do anything about. So therefore, you have to make a choice. Which prevails? Which is more important? That's the Machlokes Ben Azai and Rabbi Eliezer. All right. Now the question is. Let me just say, let's take the Rambam. Where did the Rambam get? Sometimes where the Rambam got his position from? Okay. The Gemara says, I believe the Rambam got his position from Rabbi Yeshua in the Mishnah. Rabbi Yeshua in the Mishnah says that a woman would prefer to have a husband that's a lower wage earner but is with her constantly than one that earns more money and is away. Okay? That's what the, so that's why Rashi says you can't teach a Torah. What does that mean? Okay. Yeah. What I believe in, I believe that's the Rambam Shita. What it means is as follows, you see, and I'm going to have to make certain statements, but I'm not finished with the first statement. I just want to make the points clear. Let's take the Rambam. The Rambam's position is without a doubt that the intellectual capacity of women does not equal the intellectual capacity of men. I mean, there's no question about that. I mean, that's what he says. I mean, the Rav expounds on that as well. No one disagrees with that.
Where's the Rav, by the way?
What? So, in other words, this whole machlekes that you find today in today's society, why is it, for instance, that in the world of science, essentially, I mean, 99.9% of all science was, all physics, all abstract thought, was accomplished by men, not by women? I mean, you have Madame Curie, but that's one person, and she wasn't even in the higher spheres of the most abstract areas. But the whole physics and the whole, the relativity and physics and quantum and all the biggest breakthroughs in science throughout the ages have been accomplished by men, not by women. Okay? And even in psychology, which is essentially really a feminine science, I say it's a feminine science because of the fact that I'll expound a little more about that, because a woman is much more, has much more sensitivity towards the, in terms of the internal emotional life, than a man does. And that's why psychology really is something which is more of a woman's kind of science, discipline. As a matter of fact, women did best in the areas of, for instance, psychoanalysis. And many women are better analysts than men, because they have, and that's what Yadus maintains as well,
The Bino Yisera means that a woman is much quicker to sense the inner emotional life and to grasp what's going on internally than a man does. She has a unique sensitivity. And that sensitivity was expressed, really, in Sarah. That's what Rashi says. She was a greater Nevi'ah than Avram. It means insofar as a certain realm of knowledge, the realm of psychology is the realm which a woman is superior in. And that's why she was able to see that this Yishmael, as big a tzaddik as he was, and Chazal say really he was a tzaddik at the time, because Basher Shon means at the time he was a tzaddik. But she was able to see through that, and she saw that that he's going to destroy all of Yadus, and he has to be chased out. Okay. That was because of the fact that she had the superior grasp of what the internal life is, the psychological area. A woman is a better psychologist. But nevertheless, in the area of making the abstract breakthroughs in psychology, there's psychology, psychology in terms of application, and then there's psychology in terms of making the abstract breakthroughs. There you see that even in that field, men essentially made the breakthroughs. Okay. Now, of course, so I'm not talking about mathematics or physics or psychology, but the areas, the scientific areas. Now, of course, there are those that wish to say, it is a fact. I mean, it's not arguable. It's a fact. But there are those that wish to say that's because women were put down. But actually, their intellectual ability equals that of man in abstract thought. Yadus does not maintain that's true. Yadus maintains the reason why men essentially have been the ones that have made the breakthroughs is because in the areas of pure abstract thought, a man is superior. That's the way it is, and there's nothing we could do about it. And it would be in other words, for a person to be upset about such a thing, you might as well be upset than a man should be upset that he's not a malach, because a malach is superior to him. But chaseu me'at me Elohim, which means that Adam is not as great; he can't have the same perception as a malach. We say kadosh kadosh kishem shemagdish so b'shmei ma'arom. So the second day malachim were created, and malachim are superior. So we have to realize that it is childish. And that's what this society is all about. This society is a childish society, not a thought-out society. It's childish. And in this society, the question is, who's the best? Okay, that's the main thing. The main thing isn't what you have. The main thing is what others think you have. So therefore, if I could say that I'm superior for some reason, then that's fine. But now it's not fair. Why should you have that enjoyment of saying you're superior when I should have that enjoyment too? So therefore, this becomes a very childish kind of a debacle in which people get all heated up about and draw conclusions based upon their wishes, not based upon fact. But we in Yadus have learned that a person has to accept what reality is. Now, in the same reality of Yadus, which states clearly that on the whole, the intellectual capacity of a man is superior, it also states that it is possible to have a woman be superior as well. I mean, there's there's the case of the woman that won Nevi'im, not just Devorah. Hold on, Nevi'im. There are several four Nevi'im. So
two in Torah, four in Nevi'im, and one in Ksuvim.
Nashim that won Nevi'os, those Nashim were of unusual character. But at any rate, that is not the general principle. It's not the general principle. And in Yadus, it would be incorrect to use the answer that the world uses. The world uses the answer to say, why is all the scientists a man? I mean, predominantly all the scientists. Why is that so? So they'll say, because women were put down. But to say that that's the case in Yadus would be incorrect because of the fact that it would be saying that Yadus is unfair. That Yadus is unfair, which would be basically fair. Okay, so at any rate, that's the position of Yadus, and it shouldn't disturb anyone if the fact is that on the whole, that men are superior insofar as their intellectual ability is concerned. Yes? On the other hand, the women have a superiority in the arts, in the field of the arts, because, as we said, that they have the emotional makeup is they're capable of they have much greater capacity when it comes to the internal world of psychology. In my opinion, really, that was the concept of Adam and Chava. Adam and Chava really was Lo Tov Heyos Adam Levado, and there's a Chazal. Chazal say a strange thing. Chazal say, how was Chava created? So we're all familiar. Everybody says a rib. Well, Chazal don't say a rib. Question of a tail. Okay. From the tail of Adam, or was it Shnei Patsufin? And Rashi accepts the sheet of Shnei Patsufin. What does Shnei Patsufin mean? Shnei Patsufin means that they were, I mean, so to speak, back to back, and they were one entity. I mean, it sounds so strange when we learn that. What does it mean? Okay? So I'm not interested in the physiology of it, but I'm interested in the concept and the idea behind it. You understand what I mean? I'm not interested in how they walked. It doesn't bother me. What I'm interested in is what is the idea that Chazal are conveying? Why? And Rashi, if I remember correctly, does seem to maintain that position. Okay. Yadu Pratzufim. What is the sheet? The answer is like this. The mandoma that says du Pratzufim, what did he hold? He held, very simple, the Pasuk says, Zachar Nekev Abram. Zachar Nekev Abram. It means to say that man alone is not a complete Bria. Okay? There must be the part of woman. So that's why he says, what he maintains is, that these two were really one, were created one, and then they were separated. Okay? Why were they created one? The answer is very simple. Because really one was supposed to complement the other. In the area of abstract thought, the man was the leader, and the area of knowledge of the internal world, the woman was supposed to be the leader. And together, because man is unique, that he can reflect, the animal kingdom cannot reflect, no animal can sit back and start thinking about concepts or ideas outside of the self, only man has that ability. But man reflects in the outer world, and he reflects in the inner world. And Adam was the one that had the ability to penetrate the outer world, the world of abstract thought, purely abstract thought, and the woman had the ability to penetrate the inner world. And you cannot have one without the other. So basically, they were supposed to work together. With that combination, there would never have been any hate. If that combination worked properly, there wouldn't be any hate. But what happened was that Chava was caught alone. And since Chava was caught alone, when the Nachash approached Chava, Adam wasn't there. If Adam were there, the Nachash wouldn't be able to sell Chava a bill of goods in terms of philosophy of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You see? So both together, they made a perfect union, and that's why that mandama maintains they could not be that Adam was alone first, and later Chava was created. Because you must have both. But what does it mean, Lo Tov Hayos Adam Levado? So you ask me questions. If that's the case, so it was wonderful. So what is the Lo Tov? What was he missing? What was he missing? Why? The answer is, I mean, this is an answer which is based on an in-depth concept in psychology. What it means is Lo Tov Heyos Adam Levado. It means apparently man's instinctual life was incomplete without object love. There had to be object love in order to satisfy him on a psychological plane. And as long as they were truly one, you see, there couldn't be any object love. Because object love means you love something outside of yourself. So that is the meaning, according to that mandama. That's the meaning of Lo Tov Heyos Adam Levado. You see, Levado means where he is only the self. There's only Levad. Because otherwise you'd think that mandama is going against the Pshuto Shel Mikra. But it's not going against Pshuto Shel Mikra, because Pshuto Shel Mikra is really an in-depth analysis of human nature. And what it means was that psychologically, for some reason, I'm not going to go any further in psychology, not a course of psychology, but you see from the Pasuk that for some reason, without the institution of object love, the two couldn't make it. Even though it was a perfect creation, but psychologically there was frustration. And that's why they had to be separated, so that each one looks at the other as something outside the self. Okay? So therefore, there is, each one has an area, of reality that they're capable of penetrating to a greater degree. And basically together, that's the union. And that remains so even after, even after object love is introduced, but still, the two are apart now, it's SLA, it's a kinegdo, but still, the union is when these two facilities, these two abilities unite and merge and function together. That really is, that's Ishvishto, that's how Ishvishto should work. That's the way it's set up, that's the way this is set up. Okay. Now. Yeah. Now let's get back to the area. From Chazal, we see one thing. So again, you see another Chazal, which shows clearly with Sara Imenu, the superiority of Sara. Okay. But on the other hand, you see the Gemara over here does say, and the conclusion to be drawn from the Gemara, and this is a conclusion which I don't think anyone can, you cannot gainsay, you cannot deny this conclusion. The conclusion is, what is the upshot of the Gemara? The upshot of the Gemara, when the Gemara says, Nichnas bar mumius, whether it's Linus, Cleverness, or the Rambam, that she'll distort the system. Basically, what the Gemara is saying is like this, and this is what I want to explain. This is my major answer. Yadus operates on different levels, and it employs different systems in order to function. You have to understand that the system of Torah is Chochmas Elokim. Chochmas Elokim means that this is God's infinite Chochmah in terms of maintaining the system for Klal Yisrael, Dore Doros. It's unbelievable when you realize that we have today the whole system of Yadus. I mean, okay, we're missing certain things, but basically it's remained intact over thousands of years, and also for Klal Yisrael and for the Ummah and for the Ummah Solom, for the entire world. Okay. So therefore you have to understand that there are various institutions that are employed in Yadus in terms of the system. Now what the Gemara says over here is like this. The conclusion from the Gemara, I'm going to state the conclusion, then I'll show you what my explanation is. The conclusion from the Gemara is, and this you can't deny, namely, that if a woman is learning Torah, you cannot say, and you should not say, that she is superior because she's learning Torah. You should not say that, and you cannot say that. To a woman that's not learning Torah. Okay? You cannot say that. That's what the Gemara says, basically. I mean, the Gemara says, because the Gemara notices that with the Torah comes our mumius. What does that mean, with the Torah comes our mumius? It means like this. It means this is an important basic principle. And that is that what Yadus seeks is only one thing, perfection. Perfection of the human personality. It doesn't seek greatness in Chochmah, doesn't seek certainly greatness in Gvura, physical strength, doesn't seek greatness in terms of prominence or fame. It seeks only one thing, perfection of the human personality. That's the goal of Yadus. And a person can be the greatest Chacham in the world and also be the greatest Rasha. Okay? It's possible. Doei Gadomi, the Gemara says. But the Gemara says a person has Lomid Lakanter. Okay? A person has Lomid Lakanter. A person can be a great genius in Torah, and if he learns because he likes to catch somebody else, he likes to catch somebody, that's what he enjoys, destroying another person, then it's, the Gemara says, it would be better if he never existed. So Yadus does not maintain that Torah is the ultimate goal. Yadus doesn't maintain that way. It maintains, and it's the Navi says, Al Yitzhal El HaChacham B'Chachmasa, be the greatest Chacham. But if the person has no right to be proud of the fact that he's a great Chacham, that's not a source of pride. Okay? Al Yisrael Chacham B'Chachmasa. Ki im bezos yisal ha-mesalol. Haskel v'yadoa osi. That means knowledge of God. Yedias Hashem means perfection. That's perfection. Okay. So therefore, what Chazal are saying is as follows. Chazal are saying that when you introduce Torah, it's not such a simple matter. You introduce Torah, do you think that you've introduced perfection? Not necessarily. With Torah comes other things. I remember the Rav one time said, Chachma leads to arrogance. Leads to arrogance. A person sees that he knows more than somebody else, he naturally has to become arrogant. I mean, I bring it right from the Gemara Nedarim. The Gemara says, please explain me. One Mandama says, don't sit down until you explain me what this means. It says, Umimidba Matana. Umimatana Nachlia. Uminachlia Bamos. Okay? What is this talking about? What's the purpose of Torah saying this? So the Gemara says, Amalei. Kivan Sha'osu Adam Asatzmo Kemidbar. When a person makes himself desolate like a desert, Shehu Mufkalako, which means he doesn't feel anything special about himself. He's Mufkalako, he's like nothing. Okay? So the Gemara says, Torah Nitna Lo Bamatana. It means to say, there's a kind of Torah you attain through work and through effort. But then there's another kind of Torah that God gives you. Matana. It's a phenomenon. Which means to say, all of a sudden, a person notices that his abilities to understand and to perceive the Gemara have increased. Where did it come from? Matana. It means that the person worked, he strove, he worked, he gained. There's a gaining that takes place through effort. And then there's a gain that takes place through matana. The Gemara says like this: Shenemar umimidbar matana, the kivon shenitna lo b'matana. And once this happens, nochalo keil. All right. So then it means to say nochalo keil. So it means to say that God gives him a shenem matan nachalio. Okay. It means to say that he has a relationship with God. The chivan shenochal okel ola l'gdula. Then what happens? Well, Rashi says nachalio means like this: nasla torkamo nachla. All right. So first he sees the chokhmah, then it becomes like a nachla. Okay, good. So then it's like this. Okay. So then what happens? It says the chivan shenochal okel ola l'gdula shenemar uminachlio bamos. Okay. So it means to say that all of a sudden he's ola l'gdula. Suddenly he gains prominence in the society. Then it says, Vimig biatzmo, and if he raises it, if he becomes haughty about it, HaKadosh Baruch Hu mashpilo. And God pushes him down. Okay? Shenema, umibamos, hagai. He goes down to the valley. Velood, elishashokin also bakarka. Okay? They push him down deep into the ground. Shenema veneshkofa pnei yeshima. Alright? So then he's reduced. Shokin bakarka means it's not just that he lost his prestige, he's lower than he was before. Okay? Vim choser, Bodhi Gemara says, but if he does tshuva, HaKadosh Baruch Hu magbir. Then God raises him up again. Shenema kol geyinasei. So what does Gemara have to say? You have a course where you start off, you're going step by step. First starting off from nothing, he gains chachmas haTorah, then he gains insight, new insight, matana, then his nachalio becomes like a nachalo, then it's a bamos. Why do you have to suddenly go down and then come back up again? What's the answer? The answer is because it's a natural process. You say it's a natural process. When a person sees that his intellectual capabilities are greater than others, he naturally has to feel more haughty. So then that's the danger zone. Okay? So now he has to make a choice. So if he makes the choice of being haughty, God pushes him down. But since it's a part of the process, if he rethinks and re-understands the value of Torah, he changes, he's chozer b'tshuva, then God, on the contrary, lifts him up again. So you see, the Gemara's Gemara's description and why the progress in the graph is uneven, so to speak. It goes up, 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 down, and then up again. The reason is because that's part of the natural process. So you see, what Chazal held is that Torah is not really, so to speak, the Torah is not really a total panacea in every sense of the word. Okay, it's very important. It's very important. It's indispensable. But it is not something which guards a person for certain against falling down low and even being lower than he was before. Shokeh, shokur bekarka. It's an interesting thing. Now, in our society, of course, our society doesn't really concern itself with these kind of chazal, because our society is very superficial, and appearance is everything. And even in the area of knowledge, he who appears to be knowledgeable and he who has the honor and the prestige and the accolades, this is the person that we respect. Our society is not geared to perfection, and that's why you have the strife and the arguments with regard to these areas especially, because everything in the value in the society is just appearance, just on the surface, very surface society. This society responds not to ideas, but to emotions. Now, what Chazal say is, Ani Chachma Shachanti Arma, Chazal say that Chachma, there's another danger in Chachma. A person gains Chachma, gains knowledge, he improves his mind, and he learns, what does Gemara say? So what does Gemara mean? Gemara doesn't mean that in Dinei Mamonos you're going to become more abstract thinker. Because Taharis is more abstract than Nezikin. But what it means is, Chachma means in Nezikin, you learn about mortgages, and you learn about loans, and you learn about lying, how a person can lie, and how to be choshed, and then the various umdenes, and different complicated kenunyas, things like that. So a person is osek in Dinei Mamonos, so he's machkim, it means in general, it'll help him out in business. Okay. So what happens is that a person who becomes a greater chacham, he will lose a certain natural tamimus because of the armor that enters him. So learning again does not result necessarily in perfection. Doesn't result necessarily in perfection. Okay. So what do we do? What do we do? So the answer is like this. The answer is that Yadus has decided. Yadus has divided, basically, has divided the roles, made a division between the roles of a man and the roles of a woman. And what Yadus says is like this. There are two concepts of Lima Torah. One concept of Lima Torah is a personal learning. Personal learning. I learn for my own personal reason. There's another concept of Lima Torah. It's learning for the system of the Masorah. The Masorah has to be maintained. Okay. I'll give you an example. It's in Hilchos Tamei Torah. The Rambam says, let's say, for instance, I have to learn and my son has to learn, and I only have enough money for one of us to learn. So what is the halacha? That if my son is a superior intellect, I have to support him. What about my own learning? Where's the fairness? What's the answer? The answer is, a person's obligation in Yadus is first and foremost to maintaining the system of Torah. That is the greatest expression of Avas Hashem in the whole system. If you don't have that, then that's it. The person has no part in Matan Torah. That's the whole idea of Matan Torah. Matan Torah is a responsibility for the maintenance of the system of Torah. Now, Yadus has said that the Masorah, the Torah, and the framework of Masorah was given over to man. Was given to man, not to woman. The ones who are in charge of the Masorah exclusively is man. Why is that so? I'm not so interested in the reasons, but certainly what Yadus maintains, this is what the Rambam is saying, the reason is because there has to be, so to speak, a division of labor, and man is most capable in the area of pure abstract thought. The man is greater, and therefore his role, the maintenance of the Masorah, must be dafka through man. So the woman, what Chazal say, and of course feminists object to the Chazal, they say that the greatness of a woman is that she has her husband learn and our children learn. But what does that mean? It means to say that insofar as the foremost obligation that we all have, the foremost obligation is the maintenance of the Masorah, that is where Haris Chus is. That's what Gemara means, Nashim B'mai Zachya. It means, how are they Zocha in the framework of maintaining the Masorah? And that's why the Gemara says that if the Sota has a Schus, Milo Miflig Badei, doesn't she divide the Schus Torah with her husband? Why does she divide it? Because insofar as the maintenance limit of the maintenance of the Masorah, they're both integral. Okay? They're both integral. The Gemara and Sota tells a story. Not just about man and woman, but the Gemara tells a story of Shimon Achi Azariah. And the Gemara mentions Shimon Achi Azariah and Rabbi Yochanan the Ben Isio. And Rashi says, who was Shimon the brother of Azariah? Tanahu b'mishnah kamaisa d'zvachan. He's mentioned in the first Mishnah in Zvachan. V'lama Torah l'yedei ochir. And he learned Torah through his brother, Shoya Osek b'par kamatya, that did work, that was involved in business, k'deshi yachlok b'schus limudo shel Shimon. Okay, so it's not just woman. He himself, he has two men, and one, and the Azariah was the one that supported him. And the same thing Rabbi Yechanan. The Bein Asiyah supported Rabbi Yechanan and made the great Rabbi Yechanan. So there is, in Yadus, whether it's man or woman, makes no difference. We all have the same commitment. And that commitment is to the maintenance of the Masorah. For the maintenance of the Masorah, the man is the best one to be in charge of that. He is the one that's most fitting, most capable. And that's why the designation was given to him. That's what the good now. That's why the Gemara was so sharp. That's why Rabbi Elazar ben Hyrcanus was so sharp. Why was he so sharp? He was so sharp. And you notice, she was listening to the shir. So, okay, then no one seemed to throw her out. She said, listen. But apparently, and this you don't have to have much doubt about, since the philosophies of this society are based just upon emotions and not upon thought, these emotions creep up at various times, not just now. The emotions creep up in various centuries, different times. I mean, there are many things. You'll see they run in cycles. The only thing is when you're in one cycle, you think that this is the first time it ever happened. But if you look back in history, you'll see that there are many things that they have that the fads. I mean, the fads, but after like about a cycle of 60, 70, 80 years, when they forget the past generation, then the cycle starts again. So these philosophies are basically the same thing. They're recurring. They're recurring. The reason why Rabbi Elazar ben Hyrcanus was so sharp was because he sensed that this Mitruna is under that emotion. That she is going to show that she is capable. Nashim are as capable as men insofar as the Mesorah of Torah. So that's why he says, Yisrafu Torah v'alim masru l'nashim. When it comes to the Mesorah, we cannot compromise even one iota. If the system is best handled by men, if that is the best way, then we can't compromise, then that's the way it has to be. And that's why he said, that's why he rejected her so strongly. Okay? This has nothing to do. He sensed in her, apparently, that's why he gets the answer. He sensed in her, apparently, that she, and the Meiri says on the spot, he says, what did she do wrong? He says, it's not derech eretz for a person to go and ask the God Ladar. Ask somebody next to you. You have a question? They're going yes in the Galadar. Here's where Lesman Hookness was the Galadar. What are you asking him for? Here's somebody sitting next to you. So he sensed in her an arrogance, and that's why he put down the arrogance. Okay? All right. So now you have like this. So now you have Limud in two frameworks. You have Limud in the framework of the personal, and then you have Limud in the framework of maintaining the Masorah. Okay? Limud in the framework of maintaining the Masorah. The Rambam in Hilchas Talmud Torah is talking about Limud in the framework of maintaining the Masorah. And what he says is as follows, that there cannot be, that since Limud, very, very few people really learn Torah Lishma. Very few people really learn Torah Lishma. The Rambam says that not even Kol Chacham Zochel, but of course he means there's the various levels of Lishma. Okay? But Torah is something which involves a danger as well. And Yadus, as I said, is interested in perfection. Not godless in Chachma, perfection. Chachma is a component of that. What Yada said is as follows, that insofar as Nashim, since, this is my opinion, since, you see, why are Nashim, let me get the question, where did Ram get the idea from that Nashim are inferior in terms of their intellectual capacity? I mean, not because of, because he, I don't believe it's because he made a study of it. It's based upon the Chazal. See, the Gemara, what did Rabbi Yeshua say? It sounds like a disparaging statement, where he says that a woman would rather be with her husband than what? Than have a lot of money. What it means is like this. The Gemara was pointing out why it is that a woman is not really as capable in the area of pure abstract thought. And the reason is because the Gemara says, because the romantic emotion is much more predominant in her nature than in man's nature. You see? And that's why she isn't as that energy that she's losing because of that takes away from the ability to be completely in the world of the abstract thought. World of abstract thought has to be a person who's an adventurer, who's capable of leaving all kinds of emotions and just being in pure the world of pure thought reality. A woman has a woman in that respect has it more difficult because the romantic emotion is very strong. The romantic emotion takes away from the energy for the pure intellectual. That's what Rabbi Yeshua basically said. Now that's what the Rambam means. The Rambam doesn't mean to say that women are stupid. Doesn't mean that. Chas shalom. Doesn't mean that. What he means to say is that in terms, if you'd ask who is the one that should carry on the Mesorah, who is more appropriate for carrying on being involved day and night, and I'm not talking about just sitting and learning. I'm talking about Chazal, talking about being involved yomom v'layla, day and night without stop, like the Vilna Gaon who slept 2 hours a night, just completely involved in the world of abstract thought. Because those were the Balei HaMesorah that really made sure that we have the Mesorah today. Is it a man or is it a woman? The answer is it's definitely, without doubt, it's a man. Man's capable of doing it. Woman can't do it. Now, again, it doesn't do... So we have to think in terms of the system, who is the appropriate... Which is the group that's appropriate for carrying on the Mesorah? The Mesorah is from man. Now the Rambam says... So that's one aspect. In terms of Mesorah, women have no chiyuv in Talmud Torah. The Mesorah of a woman is really in the bias. That's where the Mesorah is. There's no question about it. I mean, a woman, whether a person likes it or not, that's what the Yahadis is. Where is it? In terms of making sure that her husband learns Torah and her children learn Torah. That's where she expresses her love of the maintenance of the system of the Mesorah. Okay. That's with regard to Mesorah. But now the question is with regard to another. Now there's another question. Forget about Mesorah. Now you see, Chazal say, a person shouldn't teach his daughter Torah. Okay? So, there is one issue of Mesorah, that was Rabbi Elazar Gudel's issue. He said, no, the Mesorah cannot be transmitted to women. Can't. It has to remain in the hands of men. Now, there's another issue. The other issue is, what about a woman learning in general? Is there an issue to teach a woman? So there Chazal apparently said, and I think one of the reasons is that the Rambam mentions Eina Mitzuvah Yosa, and the Gemara mentions Eina Mitzuvah Yosa. Chazal say that because a person is Mitzuvah V'yosa, it affects the whole performance of the mitzvah. So when a person is a Mitzuvah V'yosa, like Teish says, he's a Doeg, he looks at it in a different, it casts a different light on the entire Asiyasa Mitzvah. Since a woman is an Eina Mitzuvah V'yosa in Torah, so the dangers insofar as the other side, the other ill effects that Torah can produce are increased tremendously. You see? Are increased tremendously. So therefore, the Rambam says, it is not proper to imply or to indicate that perfection for a woman is in the Beis HaMedrash. That's wrong to say that. It's wrong to imply such a thing. Because it's not true. Because Torah carries with it a great danger. And you see, as I mentioned to you, Chazal are constantly warning the men, the Balei HaMesorah, they are constantly warning against the dangers of gaiva, the dangers of a person using his chachma for the wrong purposes. But Chazal say that the fact that the man is a metzuva v'yosa makes it possible. La'olam yasok adam b'tar mitzvahs shalolishma shemitoch shalolishma bolishma. What does it mean? It doesn't mean it. Many cases it won't happen. But it means in terms of the system, that is the right way. The system will be able to exist, even though you're going to have people that are osik shalolishma along the line. It's going to happen. Many people are osik shalolishma, but there will be enough individuals throughout the history of mankind that will learn with the proper lishma. The system will be maintained. But, insofar as Nashim is concerned, you cannot say, you have no right, you shouldn't imply that her perfection is in the Beis HaMedrash. There's no such thing, and there never was such thing as a Beis HaMedrash for Nashim, and I don't think that, and I am very much against the idea of creating or implying that such a thing exists in Yadis. We can't have anything new. There's no such thing as a new thing. Chazal never had Batim, but Beis HaMedrash is an institution. It's not just learning. It's an institution. The Gemara says, "Mashchela Beis HaMedrash." And Pogabach and Dovah. Beis HaMedrash is an institution. Beis HaMedrash is not for Nashim. It's only a place for Anashim. That's the way it is. Does this? Why? Again, because since she's an Eina Mitzuva V'Yosa, the dangers of a program, an institutionalized system of Limud Torah Shebal Peh, are too great, and you have no right to say that this is her perfection. You can't say that. What about that's from an institutionalized standpoint. Okay, that's Hilchas Tamei Torah. Okay, Hilchas Tamei Torah is, as I showed you, the institution of maintaining Torah. On an individual basis, it's a different story. Individual basis, different story. There are two levels I want to speak about. The Rambam in Hilchos Tamei Torah, Efshel Leida Samakol, a woman and a man, a cotton and a guttel, what does he mean? He means Lima Torah not insofar as Mesorah is concerned. He means Lima Torah insofar as Yedias HaMitzvahs are concerned. Over there, of course, a woman is involved on the same level as a man. I mean, she has to understand her halachas. She has to understand those things which are nogea to her. And you can't just tell her to do it without understanding. That doesn't make any sense. Of course, Yisrael Ben Azar is definitely right that if you understand something, you have the conviction. So therefore, in her areas where her mitzvahs are concerned, she has an obligation to pursue knowledge and to understand the asiyas and mitzvahs and to learn them. That's the Rambam. That's what the Rambam says in Hilchos Yisrael Torah. Okay, but that's not limud insofar as Mesorah is concerned. That's not the Beis HaMedrash, which is the institution of Mesorah. The institution of Mesorah is for men, but insofar as limud and yediyah, insofar as one's personal mitzvahs are concerned, that a woman has the same thing as a man. There's no difference. It says Efshish Leido Samakol, the Rambam says. Same thing, no difference. Cotton, guttel, doesn't make any difference if you speak about a young person, a child, grown-up person, a man, a woman. Everybody has an obligation to understand and to know mitzvahs, to understand what they're doing. That's without a question. But that's not Mesorah. That's not Mesorah. Not the Beis HaMedrash, it's not Mesorah. There's a big difference. That's one. There's a second level also. A second level also is the case of Bruria. Chazal speak in such glowing terms of Bruria, and yet it would seem they're against the whole idea of a woman. How come they respected her? The daughter of Rabbi Hanina ben Tradja and the wife of Rabbi Meir. What's the answer? The answer is, again, there are individuals that on their own, are attracted to Chachma, and they have the right to grasp it on their own. The Rambam doesn't say Isha lo tumo Torah. It says lo yelamed adam espita Torah. What does it mean? It means to say that a man shouldn't have a program, an institutionalized program of limud, and say that women have to learn Torah. And if they don't learn Torah, they're inferior. Base matters, yes. You say a man's in the base matters, he's superior. He's outside in the street, he's inferior. But by a woman, you can't say that. You can't apply such a thing. So it's dependent on the yachid. She has to determine herself. If she's drawn to it, like a bruria, she's drawn to it naturally. She can't live without it. her whole life is new. Then that's something else. It doesn't say anywhere. That's what the Ram you quoted for. The Ram says that a woman has a right to do any mitzvah, even though she's not chayeves. Yes, as an ani mitzvah v'yasa. Yes, any doesn't qualify. On her, from her standpoint, yes, she has a right to grab what she can. But an institutionalized learning, a beis hamedrash, no. I would say, for instance, it would be usur to teach, to have a program, an institutionalized program, where you teach women Torah and Psak and Sefer Darbanan and Sefer Deraisa and Chaticha Zu and Chaticha Stam and all the institutions of Halacha that are so important in being able to know how to paskin. When do you follow these Rishonim? When those Rishonim? How does it work? All the complicated Sveik, the complicated areas of Halacha, I would say it's us to have such a program, to teach us a program. Now let's do it. Also, I would say, insofar as the methodology of Torah, to work with women on methodology is also wrong. To have a program, an institutionalized program on teaching methodology is not, that's Moshe Torah Nashim. That means you're giving over the Masorah. Can't do that. You could teach Hashkafa, teach philosophy, I'm talking about institutionalized, teach Hashkafa, you could teach philosophy, that's what Moshe says, you should teach Pegevas. Plenty of things that a person can teach. You can teach halachas binogeya what they have to do. Plenty of halachas, beautiful halachas, just as beautiful. Won't be any lack. You have to work in a different program, though. That's the way it has to be worked out that way. But to give away, to teach women, to have a program of institution, an institutionalized program where you teach the method of learning, that's most eternal notion, without a doubt. That's wrong. Philosophy, yes. Well, sure.
Teach the law of contradiction.
Philosophy law. What? You cannot teach in a way that your goal is to give the keys of the system to women. That's not supposed to. If a woman on her own grabs what she can, you see, if she is prone to that naturally, like a bruria, she'll get it. There's no question about it. Forget it. But an institution implies, you see, when you have an institution, you're implying that these are the superior people, the ones that are part of this institution, the ones that are outside are not. That's false. It's a false implication. It's not true. If a woman is drawn to a shear, it's wonderful, wonderful. That's her own. That's her own thing. It's wonderful. But to say that women have to come to a shear, and like Talmud Torah, like men, which means to say, you'll say, oh, they're involved. She's involved in Varm B'Talem. She's home, she's involved in Varm B'Talem. It's us that say such a thing. Can't say it. She has her rights to do what she wishes. If she's drawn, I mean, you have to listen carefully. It's a subtle point, but there is a line of division here. One issue is Mesorah, and the other issue is what is perfection for a woman. Perfection for a person is wrong. If a person says perfection for a woman is being in the base of medrash and learning, that's not true. Because Chazal say, Nashim b'mayzachya. The essential role of their Mesorah, the role of their Mesorah is to make sure that their children and that their husband can learn Torah. That's the essential role of the Mesorah. Therefore, it's wrong to be Moser. That's one thing. Then another thing is, in terms of Mesiras Torah l'Nashim, it is wrong to cater to, and I tell you that the yeshivas, the main draw, let's look at it logically. You're not going to tell me that the women today are bigger tzaddikas than they were 100 years ago. I mean, it's nonsense. Yeah. It's silly. So, but you see today, the women want to learn. Look at every magazine that's coming, all these Jewish magazines coming out. Where does this come from? Sudden love of Torah. Where does it come from? There's no doubt about it. It comes from the philosophy of this society, which is simply looking, because it has its whole value system is based on ego, so therefore they're saying, hey, why should you be in the front? Why should you be Yol Torah, not me? But Yadda says the exact opposite. As a matter of fact, Chazal say, what is the greatness of a woman? What did Avraham Avinu say? Where's your wife, Sarah? Hinei Ba'ohel. The greatness of a woman is on the contrary.